Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Home, home on the water.
What?
Where the fish?
It's home on the range.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us here today, October 18th, 2025, for the second day of our lifestyle article for the month of October. It is called Home on the Water. Living on a boat is a dream come true, with challenges. But our title there, Home on the Water, I was having a little fun with it in the tagline just now. It's a play on a famous American folk song called Home on the Range. The range being sort of out in the western big sky country of the United States. There's this song, Home, Home on the Range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard, meaning not very often, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Hazel, my co-panelist today, I'm sure you know that song.
I do know that song, and I think a lot of our students actually know that song.
Ah, good.
Yeah, I've sung that song a few times with some of our students, so that's a popular song here, not a pop song as popular, but a long time ago some of the students might know that.
Yes.
Anyway, a very different living home on the range with maybe not a lot of water than living on a boat where there's
Nothing but water. Home on the water. I was going to say where the fish and the octopus play. We need to get to our article. But first, let's just sort of set the table here and just like to chew on a little discussion question for just a few minutes. Hazel, do you think you could live on a boat like this?
I could live on a boat for at least a short time. I would rather live on a houseboat because that's more geared to living a regular lifestyle or more suitable. You probably have a bigger bathroom and a bigger kitchen and a bigger living area, so I would like that. I think it would actually be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think so too. Yeah, I don't know if I see myself really doing it indefinitely, but for a summer, maybe even for a full year, just to see what it's like in the hot weather, what it's like in the cold weather, to live on a boat. And Hazel made a good distinction right at the end of our discussion yesterday in that she pointed out that there are these things called houseboats, which are different from what this family, whom we met in our article yesterday, Michael and Rhea DePaula with their three sons, teenage sons. This family has bought a sailboat, a 53-foot long catch rig sailboat means a sailboat with two masts, the big tall pole that the sail is connected to. Instead of just one large pole in the middle of the boat, you have two sort of smaller poles, masts, which makes the sails smaller and perhaps makes them easier to control. And that is the boat that they bought to live on. The way we might live in an apartment or in a house, they live on a sailboat. And that it's an interesting choice since they could also have bought a houseboat, which, as Hazel was telling us yesterday, is a boat, you know, on the water, but more shaped like a house, more square in shape, not so much that sort of narrow shape that a sailboat has, because a houseboat is more for just living on rather than going somewhere in it. And we learned yesterday how it has been a dream of the DePaula family to someday circumnavigate the globe. That's to say, sail around, completely around the globe, the world. So that may be the reason that they opted to buy themselves a sailboat to live in rather than a houseboat, because most houseboats are not good for, certainly not sailing around the world, and mainly just to serve as houses. And that's why they have the name. So I think, could I live on a boat? I I mean, it would depend on the place, of course, the climate. You know, am I living on a boat in a place that often gets storms or choppy waves? Even in a port, you know, this wouldn't be living on a boat out at sea, but just living the way the DePaulas do in a marina, which is a dock for pleasure boats as opposed to industrial boats or big, enormous cruise ships. I couldn't rule it out just sort of on principle here. There's nothing that really I really object to. I imagine it might be fun to fall asleep, you know, at night to the gentle sort of up and down of the boat, kind of rocking.
Gentle rocking. Yeah. I think it depends, too, on who you're sharing the boat with.
Yes. Bingo.
I think if I had to share it with three teenage boys, oh, if I was their mom and I had three teenage boys, I'd just think, oh, that's kind of crowded, especially if it's not a houseboat, it's a sailboat.
Yes.
And we're going to find out a little bit more about that later. But could I ask you a question? We didn't get to this question at the end of our lesson yesterday, but it is in yesterday's lesson. Why would people choose to live in a boat on the water rather than a regular house or apartment?
Right, right. Well, the reasons as we said and as we read yesterday, it's partly for this particular family because they do have this dream of perhaps someday sailing around the world. And so first thing you need there is a boat. And so if they perhaps can kill two birds with one stone, as we say, they could both have the boat that they'll need to someday sail around the world. And if they can live in it until that day comes, then, you know, they've got a bargain for the money, as it were. But yeah, I think it mainly does come down to money and just because by and large, the article tells us that living on a boat in a city is cheaper than renting an apartment or buying a house. The article mentioned that it was a particularly hot housing market when they made this choice about 7 or 8 years ago. And so financially, it just made sense for them where they were. And it also coincided with the dream that we've been talking about. So that seems to be the reason, at least for them.
That's a good reason, is finances. But I was looking at that last paragraph from yesterday. It says, historically, boat living was also far more affordable. However, things have changed, and maybe as more people are doing that, there are more people on board boats living. And it's parking is getting more and more expensive for those slips.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. It uses the past tense. It says boat living was also far more affordable than living in an apartment or a house in Seattle. That's not always the case anymore, it says. But I think if you read between the lines, it could be that it is still more affordable. It's just no longer far more affordable.
Right, right. And it depends on if you can find a reasonable place to put your boat and
right.
a reasonable price for the boat, things like that.
And as you say, depending on how many mouths you have to feed and how
true,
many people are going to be
true.
Living on the boat with you, it could be a viable alternative. But yeah, let's read more in day two of our article now. Let's read more about what it's like to live on a boat just to learn more about this unusual living choice that the DePaula family has made. We'll do two readings today, so open up your advanced magazines to the Lifestyle article. We're on day two of the article, which is the 18th of October, and let's go into our first reading.
Michael and Lia's kids, Aiden, Joel, and Z, aged 18, 15, and 12, are well adjusted to boat life's idiosyncrasies. On a damp, slate-gray morning in December, the Sumé Ba Miyako came alive as they woke up one by one, joining their mom in the kitchen as they got ready for school. Lia, 49, stood in the galley, or the kitchen, making onigiri rice balls. When we moved here, I didn't know that we were gonna move into a boat, Z said. I was excited because I used to like Moana a lot. The three boys ate breakfast in the dining nook, while one of the family's two cats, Max, skittered around the deck outside. The other cat is Eureka. They also have a dog, Leo. A mandarin orange somersaulted around the table as the boat swayed imperceptibly. The boat's wooden walls are lined with blankets and books, packed neatly and tightly in the compact space.
Okay, so we learned yesterday that Michael and Rie have three kids, and today we meet them by name, Aiden, Joel, and Z, who are aged 18, 15, and 12. And it says right here at the beginning, Hazel, that the three boys are well adjusted to what?
Life's idiosyncrasies. When I hear that word, I just think of something that's very unusual, very strange, perhaps. Some people have idiosyncrasies that we talk about, which means they're not adjusted right, or something's a little bit wrong. They do crazy things. That's what I think of when I hear that word.
Right. And it can mean crazy things, or it can just mean things unique to a certain person that distinguish them. That it may be crazy in the sense of deviant behavior, potentially, you know, something to be aware about and to keep an eye on. But it could also be a person's idiosyncrasies. Oh, they just love the color pink, or they just love a particular kind of food or a particular movie. That can also be an idiosyncrasy. Or whenever they, you know, they have a particular funny sort of reaction whenever they see a particular person, and that's just an idiosyncrasy. So there's like a spectrum of idiosyncrasies out there. Some of them are more serious and some of them can be sort of lighthearted. But of the idiosyncrasies of life on a boat, Aiden, Joel, and Z are well adjusted to them. And it tells us how on a damp, slate gray morning in December, the Sume Bamiyako, the name of the boat, came alive as the boys woke up one by one, joining their mom in the kitchen as they got ready for school. Nice little color word back there at the beginning of the sentence, slate gray. Almost redundant, because slate as a color is not that much different from gray, but slate, Hazel, as I understand it, has a sort of bluish, a subtle bluish tint to it, but that it's basically gray or a light gray, isn't it?
Pretty much. I think slate is a stone.
Right.
We talk about, well, they used to make blackboards out of slate. So they were not quite black, but that dark, dark gray color. But I just get the idea it was a, looks like it might rain, or it's just not a happy, sunshiny day.
Yeah.
It's slate gray really early in the morning. It's December, so it probably is pretty cool. But it talks about the boat came alive. So little by little, as they woke up one by one, they joined their mom and the boat kind of came alive. Everyone is waking up and they're getting ready for school.
Right, right. And the paragraph next, second paragraph after this, says that the three boys ate breakfast in the dining nook while one of the family's two cats, Max, skittered around the deck outside. In a nook, there's a good word, a space that is partly sheltered, or in the corner of a room, a little corner where you do something is a nook. So it's not a literal corner, like simply the joining of two walls at a 90-degree angle. It implies that there's a little space there to do something. So you wouldn't want to think of this as a literal corner, but it's like a corner. It's, you know, it's there's not much room to do much there, but it can be cozy if you find, you know, the right thing to do, like eating in this case, or reading a book, we might say, you know, find a little nook to curl up into with a good book sometimes. And this is really a bit of impressive news here. I have to say, Hazel, we were talking about how what the challenges must be of a family of five with three teenage boys to live on a boat, which would seem to be certain, you know, challenging under the best of circumstances, but with three teenage boys, even on a 53-foot long sailboat, that still seems to be pushing it. But then we learned that they actually have two cats, not one, but two cats, and a dog.
Yeah.
All on this sailboat. What do the cats do?
We meet them too. They skitter around. You know, cats kind of run fast or slide, or they just skitter. That's a cute word. It sounds kind of like the action. They scat. I don't know. Anyway, they go around the deck. One is outside. Max is actually outside on the deck area. I hope he doesn't fall into the water. And the other cat's name is Eureka. And they have a dog, Leo.
Yeah, a dog named Leo. Yeah, skitter, just meaning to move quickly and lightly over a surface. Like Hazel was saying, that's often what a cat does when they move. They move quickly and lightly over a surface. But with skitter, there's kind of a sense of a slight lack of focus, perhaps. You wouldn't say that the cat skittered directly into the corner to catch the mouse or something. To skitter kind of implies that it's just going this way or that way and doesn't have a clear plan in mind. And then there's a nice detail here that our author gives us, a mandarin orange. A mandarin orange, that's orange, the fruit, an orange, and a mandarin orange, not an orange that can speak Mandarin. It's a usually just a very smaller orange than perhaps the typical orange. Typical orange is maybe, you know, the size of a softball, a baseball softball, and a mandarin orange would be more the size of a large plum, I would say, or a peach even. And Hazel, what was the mandarin orange doing?
Oh, it was somersaulting around the table as the boat swayed imperceptibly. Help me with that word.
Imperceptibly.
Yeah. Okay. I was close. It's kind of funny to me because this article is pretty matter of fact. It doesn't use a lot of description to describe all the things going around on the houseboat until now. And suddenly it's using all these words that are very descriptive and kind of fun. A nook, skittered, this mandarin orange, somersaulting. A somersault is when you kind of roll your body forward. You get into a ball and you do a somersault. And it's just like, do oranges really know how to somersault?
Well, that's the thing. They don't have legs or hands.
So it's just kind of funny. But I think because this is the main paragraph that's really very descriptive and trying to be creative in a certain manner, whereas the rest of the article has been pretty much straightforward until you get here. But it's kind of cute. Some good words there.
Right, right. We get the sense of the author more trying to paint the picture for us instead of reporting the facts of how the family came to find themselves living on a boat. And here he's giving us this picture with these details of the pets and the dining nook and the mandarin orange somersaulting. It just means turning over and over and over around the table, because the boat is, as boats do when they're on the water, they sway imperceptibly. Sway just means to move a little bit this way and then move back a little bit that way and then move a little bit that way again and move back a little bit that way. It's just a sway, and it does it imperceptibly, meaning that it is not, I mean, he may be using that term figuratively here, but it means that you cannot perceive the boat is swaying except for the orange somersaulting around the table, because apparently the sway is so gentle, it's so subtle, that if the orange wasn't rolling around the table, you wouldn't even notice it. So again, just giving us a more vivid sense of what it's like to actually be on this boat and to feel that. But let's go now into our second reading for today and understand, now that we're on the boat and we're getting a little closer to the family, let's see how the family enjoys living so closely together amongst themselves. So let's go into our second reading now.
Real family closeness. The kids share two bedrooms among the three of them. Most days, they're busy enough that they're out of each other's way, spending time at the gym, baseball practice, Starbucks, or school. That said, everyone agrees that a little extra room would be nice. I feel like my family is always within 5 feet, Aiden said. Nia misses having a kitchen that can run multiple electric appliances at once. It's kind of small and very inconvenient, she said. She can't run the rice cooker and the microwave at the same time. On the other hand, she said, the sunsets are beautiful. Until August 2024, Michael worked at Meta. Now, the family is living on savings and unemployment payments while Michael prepares to start a coin shop. The family doesn't plan to move onto land anytime soon. One day, they hope to sail the world on the Tsumeba Miyako. If we didn't jump at the time we did, we probably would have been renters the entire time, Michael said. Other families might have chosen that more traditional path. We decided to go with the dream option.
Okay, so as we learn here, the kids, the three teenage boys, share two bedrooms among the three of them. Which do you suppose? Now, to me, that sounds like two of them are in one room and one gets his own room. Is it usually the oldest or the youngest who gets his own room?
I would think it's the oldest that gets its own room, but yeah. That's just a guess.
Yeah, no, I'm betting you're probably right. But it says most days they're busy, the boys are busy enough that they're out of each other's way, spending time at the gym, baseball practice, Starbucks, or school. That said, everyone agrees that a little extra room would be nice. I feel like my family is always within 5 feet, Aiden said. And there's a nice literary detail in addition to the visual details that our author was giving us in the previous paragraph at the end of the first section. Now we get this sort of literary detail. I always feel like my family is within 5 feet. And depending on your family, that's either a good thing or a bad thing. Some of us, you know, would like a little more than 5 feet from our family. But, you know, sometimes it can be nice to have your family always within 5 feet.
Luckily, there's a Starbucks nearby, right?
But luckily, there's a Starbucks
and
nearby.
And ball practice and other things, time at the gym.
Yeah. Hazel, what is the smallest place? We talked yesterday about the most unusual place you've ever lived. What would you say is the smallest place you've ever lived?
Well, when I first moved here, I lived in an apartment that we rented, and there were like five of us sharing an apartment. So I shared a room with the person that helped me, my assistant, my translator, and things like that. And so we shared a bathroom with this other couple. The next thing you know, for the next year, the couple was going to have a baby, and they told us all that we would have to live on the same floor, which would have been very crowded. There was also another lady in there, and I said, that's it. I don't like being within 5 feet of everybody all the time.
Yeah.
So it was time for us to find a better place. So that was kind of crazy, just, you know, coming from the U.S. where I had my own room and actually my own floor, and it was kind of nice. And and then to share everything with everybody, it was like, oh, this is different.
Yes.
It was okay. Yeah. I'm not really complaining, but it was kind of a crazy place.
Sure. Living in a very small place, not necessarily a bad thing, although I think sooner or later we all do, just as human beings, we just have a need for a little extra space because it can be difficult to, you know, always be within 5 feet the same people that we live with. It goes on to say here, Rie misses having a kitchen that can run multiple electric appliances at once. I can sympathize there. I have not lived in a situation where I could only run one appliance at a time, but I can imagine that it would make cooking difficult. She says it's kind of small and very inconvenient. She can't run the rice cooker and the microwave at the same time. On the other hand, she says, the sunsets are beautiful. So, Hazel, between being able to run multiple electrical appliances at once and beautiful sunsets, if you could only have one of those, which do you think you would lean towards?
I would like to be able to run the microwave and something else at the same time and charge my devices and things like that. It's kind of interesting to me. She's talking about the kitchen, and then it's like, let me think of something good to say. On the bright side, the sunsets are nice.
Sure. And I bet the sunsets are nice.
The kitchen's small, and I can only do one thing at a time, and I'm feeding a family of five.
Sure.
But the sunsets are nice.
Yeah, well... good for her to try and find the silver lining to the situation. But yeah, it's an interesting choice, you know, how weighing the practical against the aesthetic, as we say, against beauty, to be able, you know, it is nice to be able to run multiple electrical appliances on an apartment in the big city, but, you know, it can get a little difficult to always look out the window and just see a brick wall or another apartment building along the way, and you almost don't know, you know, what time of day it is because the buildings are so tall and they block out the light. You know, just an interesting question to think about. There's no right answer, but can vary from person to person.
What about you?
Yeah, well, me, I think it depends on age. I think when I was in my 20s, I'd have gone for the sunsets and figured, oh, you know, I was living by myself, so I wasn't a family of five. I was just one guy, and I could eat out, you know, assuming this is a big city, and prepare my meals that way, and I'd rather just have a nice view. But the older you get, you know, it's like, okay, the view's great, but at the end of the day, you come home, you're tired, and it would be nice to be able to just have the practical equipment you need to make yourself a meal or to maybe watch a little television, something like that. And there I think I would be willing to, you know, I can go out to the park and look at the sunset if I want to, and then come back to my apartment and use multiple electrical appliances.
I think if they actually sail around the world, they will see lots of sunsets.
There you go. See, this was a family that we learned right from the beginning, yesterday in the first day of our article, had this dream to circumnavigate the globe, to sail around the world. So this is a family that has particular priorities that may not be everyone's priorities. And for them, they are willing to put up with only being able to use one electrical appliance in the kitchen at once. So it's good, in fact, that she mentions the sunsets are beautiful because, like Hazel said, you sail around the world, you're going to see a lot of sunsets. Probably a lot of beautiful sunsets, but maybe not all of them beautiful. So good to have an eye for that and appreciation for that. Anyway, listeners, that is all we have time for today. The article winds up by saying that, dropping an interesting detail, actually, that Michael is currently living on savings and unemployment payments, having been apparently separated from his job at Meta, the big Facebook company, and that he's preparing to start a coin shop, but that the family is still planning to stay on the boat. They are not moving onto land anytime soon, and they still have the dream to sail around the world on the Sume Bamiyako. Anyway, listeners, we wish you the best of luck with your own dreams. We will be back next time with a new article, with a new list of words for you to learn and talk about, and we invite you to join us then. But for today, I'm Peter.
I'm Hazel.
Saying bye-bye.
Smooth sailing.